Welcome to My Turn Podcast, a gaming podcast hosted by extra competitive siblings. My name's Jem and I'm joined by my youngest sibling.
Hello, I'm Erin.
And middle sibling.
Hello, I'm Bilen.
It's nice that your names are Hello, I'm.
I know, it's great.
Love it. Thank you for tuning in to this latest episode of My Turn Podcast, where we round up the games we've been playing, what we like, what we don't like, some no-frills reviews, because we are what?
We're siblings that like playing games. And we're extra competitive.
Oh, very well done, Erin.
Thank you.
Very well done.
I feel a bit dusty at the minute. Not dusty, rusty. Like, it feels like it's been a bit of a while.
Yeah. If you've listened to our last few episodes, yeah, we did have a bit of a hiatus. We posted some catch-up episodes in the last few weeks. But we always say this. I feel like we always say, we're back. We're back, everyone. We're back.
Maybe we should say we're not back.
We're not back.
Maybe we need to like do reverse psychology.
Yeah, maybe.
We're not back. There will be no more episodes.
There will be.
There'll definitely be more.
Don't jinx it.
Promise. We are all definitely playing a lot more games again now, which is good after life stuff got in the way. Erin was touring and recording non-stop.
I mean, I still am touring, but yeah, full-time now into music, so that affords me a bit more time for games.
Yeah,
as I don't have to do office job and music, so
yeah. And I think Bilen is now no longer playing Tears of the Kingdom, so you have time for other games.
I've taken a break. Yes, I've not finished it. Well, I've completed the game. I haven't 100%ed it yet, but like Breath of the Wild, I've decided to spend my time playing a few other games for a while, and then I'll come back to it and 100%.
I was going to ask, so like, just when you're playing Tears of the Kingdom, is that your sole focus, or do you have like side games?
What do you mean by side games?
Like other little games that you're playing, or are you just like, all my gaming time is into this one game?
It's pretty much all my time is in that one game, because it's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah. Bilen pures it out until he's done. We'll talk more about that in a moment.
Because
we have three games that we're going to talk about today that we've been playing. And for once, these are all super up to date. These are all 2023 releases. Yeah. And they're all Game Award winners as of the December 2023 Game Awards. So I feel like we're super current, super with it, almost like real games journalists, even though we're not. This is for fun, just because we like games, so don't at us.
If you were super current, it would be 2024.
Yeah, it is 2024 now, but
it's still, early days.
Yeah, it's early days. Yeah, early days. We don't get preview release codes and things. We're not actual games journalists, so.
This is true.
Yeah, we're playing it like you yourselves are playing
normal
these games,
people.
Listeners. Normal gaming.
Though we're definitely not normal, are we?
No, we're not normal.
Yeah, slightly normal. I don't know. What's the middle ground somewhere?
Strange normal people.
Yeah,
normal-ish.
Normal-ish, maybe.
Yeah, normal-ish. That sounds good.
Let's proceed. All right, so we have three video games that we're going to talk to you about today. Who would like to start us off?
I mean, my one's at the top of that list.
So
I'm happy to talk about
Erin.
My one.
So what is the game that you're going to be talking about today called?
It is called Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, a little unknown game that no one's ever heard of it.
It's not a very well-known franchise, especially in the D&D community. Definitely not.
Baldur's Gate 3, recent Game of the Year Award winner.
In 2023, Game of the Year Award, and well-deserving of that. It is a lovely, lovely, blast of the past of the style of game, the RPG kind of genre.
Wonderful.
And
why don't you tell us about it in a nutshell
other
related food stuff?
So, all right, if Bilen's probably going to be a pedant and be like, it's not actually
it's
not.
Fine. I'm not using a nut for mine.
Okay, how the tables have turned. It is definitely a coconut.
Is
it?
Yeah, it's the second largest nut after a sea coconut.
And I thought it was
I've never even
else.
Heard of a sea coconut, so
they
we've
like
all
coconuts,
learned something today.
Bigger.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Wow.
It's definitely a coconut. It's like massive, and it's full of sweet, sweet, juicy goodness once you get your teeth into it. Yeah.
Ooh, nice. All right, so this coconut of a game. Mm-hmm. Just tell us what you're playing it on, when it came out, for anyone who's listening to this in two years.
No worries. So it came out in 2023. I'm currently playing it on PlayStation 5. It's developed by Marion Studios, I think they're called, are the developer.
Would you like me to check that? It is Marion.
It's definitely Marion. I can't remember if it's Marion Studios or just Marion. But yeah, no, really, really enjoying it so far.
Okay, so what is, so for anyone who's been living in a hermitage, what kind of game is this?
It's so it
sum
is,
up the type
yeah,
of game.
It's a vintage, I'd say. Yeah, definitely vintage, like old school style RPG from probably like similar kind of vein to things from about 20 odd years ago when you had things like Ultima and Arcanum. And it's set in the D&D world, and it features a lot of turn-based combat. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of pre-planning and thought that goes into it. So it's a slower paced kind of action when you're actually fighting, but there is a lot more strategy, I think, involved in this than something like Skyrim, where you're just like flailing limbs at each other and hoping for the best sometimes.
Where you flail limbs at each other in Skyrim.
In Skyrim, literally, you've just got your arm out going like this. There's like no nice combat or anything like that. You're just like, nah.
Flailing, nah. I think, is like, isn't that when you take skin off?
No. Right? Flailing is just like a flail.
It might, yes. I think that is also like a
form of
you're not literally throwing skin at each other in Skyrim. Yeah. But yeah, no, this is like a proper blast from the past.
Yeah, because it's a proper role-playing turn-based game.
Yeah.
So third installment. Have you played a Baldur's Gate titles before?
Only briefly, actually, at a friend's house. But I used to be obsessed with this game called Arcanum, which was set in the same kind of world and in the same genre.
I remember that. We never finished it, did we?
I did. Did you finish it? Yeah. I managed to get it to work on Mar's old computer, and I managed to finish it.
Oh, wow.
Kind of accidentally. I don't think I was meant to, but I managed to find like the last place.
I
and,
find
like,
that sound so confusing because there was one village where you had to fight a beast and it was either the same, like an identikit goon.
Yeah.
But there were like 100 of them in different places, or it was a cat, and I couldn't work out which one.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, like that kind of game, it's so open to doing different things and there's so many different choices to make. And this is what I think Baldur's Gate does really well. It's so open and you can be so creative in the way that you approach different things. So if you're quite perceptive of like different elements in the game, you can actually use them to your advantage. Mm. This is one of the amazing things that I think modern day games are really, really missing. That kind of like creative, oh, I'm going to play like a rogue and be sneaky and observe. Oh, look, above this particular baddie, there's like a lantern. Maybe if I shoot the little rope holding it, it will come down.
Right.
On
so it rewards you for not only being a nosy Parker, but for really taking in the environment that it's created.
And playing certain roles. So like, for example, you can negate actually having to fight people if you are quite diplomatic and you've invested a lot of like skill points into charisma. So it does like the standard kind of like strength, dexterity, intelligence, charisma, perception, I think, is another one. So you can invest in different skill points and they will affect the way the world will interact with you, the characters, and also the way you interact with the world, like observing things, like your party will start to notice things and actually tell you if there's anything that they notice, like certain hidden treasures and things like
and,
that.
Yeah, and this, I don't know if you've actually said this, is a fantasy game, right?
Yeah. Baldur's Gate is in Dungeons and Dragons universe. So as long as you understand what Dungeons and Dragons
Of course.
Is. Yeah,
just want to make sure it's not some other version, iteration. So has it got that sort of like medieval fantasy feel?
Yeah. Medieval fantasy, swords, sorcerers,
dragons?
Yes, kind of. You can play like a race that is partially dragon.
Ooh.
I think it's called Dragonborn, weirdly. Not to be confused with Skyrim.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it's a bit weird. It's literally just like a red person with a big dragon's head. And I'm just like,
I mean, why not? Some people might be up for that.
I don't know. It looks really weird.
Fire breathing. Some scales.
It's just when they speak perfect English, it's like, hi, I'm a dragonborn.
Is that a dragonborn racist?
No, it's just like you'd think like someone's the shape of your head would affect your voice a little bit. But you
know. Like in Skyrim, the cat races.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
this. So you've got obviously like different races in this. Whereas like in this game, and this is something that I found really funny in your character creation, you can choose pretty much every single detail, including your cock or vagina or whatever other like parts you want, basically.
Yeah, labia. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Nice.
It's brilliant.
Nice.
Beautiful. Yeah, I was like scrolling through, just like, oh, hairstyle. Yeah, okay, we'll do that. Oh, yeah, let's get a tattoo. Oh. Dick.
Penis size. Yeah. I mean,
oh, vulva. Oh.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
All
yeah.
the choices.
Grow that vulva.
I mean, I haven't seen. I don't know when you get naked, but apparently you do at some point. I'm still in Act One. I'm at the very end of that, but I haven't got naked.
So we should
yet.
Say this is going to be an Act One review because Baldur's Gate is massive.
It's huge.
Yeah. So
it's,
when it comes to bigger games, we do like to break them up. Like we did a little. Partway through review of the Tears of the Kingdom with Billet. So we'll definitely catch up with it when you finish. But I wanted to talk to you about the things that you thought that this game does really well and the reasons that you seem to very much agree that this was Game of the Year.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. One of the things that it does really well, like I said, it is a throwback to old school RPGs. And I think, you know... I think modern games have really kind of, modern RPGs seem to have a bit of a formula of the way that they work. And like I said earlier, like the whole kind of pre-planning, there are obviously elements of that, but I feel like there's a lot more thoughts in this game. And like
sorry,
I beg your pardon. Yeah, a lot more thought is into like, what can I do? What resources do I have? Should I use scrolls? Should I equip different people in different ways? Should I be friendly? It's just like, it feels so open.
So you can really tailor your experience to the way you want to play.
And even like when you come across like different villages and like different races, the way you interact with it, it doesn't seem to really kind of guide you into being like really friendly with them or whether you should be hostile to them. And a lot of the times I've made mistakes and just like there's like a particular race of people that are like mushrooms and I was like, they're blatantly evil because I don't like mushrooms.
Mushrooms are amazing.
Yeah, I ran in and killed them all.
I'm here for seeing mushrooms.
I ran in and killed a load and I was like, actually I feel like that's probably not a good idea, so I had to go back and do it.
Are you finding that you're doing a lot of saves before you make a major decision
sometimes
to backtrack?
Sometimes because I want to see what happens. Like I know my decision, but I'm just like, well, what happens if I do stab this nice little squirrel in the face? Oh my God, I literally got into a fight with a toad and it nearly killed me. Like, so many animals are...
Battle toad.
Yeah, but it just went ribbit to me and I ribbited it back and then it just started attacking me. I was like, all right, cheers.
You said ribbit in the wrong inflection.
I know.
You swore.
I know. And I also pissed off a squirrel at one point.
Did you grab its nuts?
No, it tried to bite my shoe and I like kicked it off or something and it got angry at me.
Oh, wow.
But then I used my animal... I can't remember what the
animal
skill
magnetism?
Is, but like animal handling, I think it's
oh,
called.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and like the squirrel tolerated me because I got a high roll. Oh, very yeah, by nice. The way, like in the gameplay, when you're like doing any skill check, it actually does like D&D style rolls of dice, which is really good.
Lovely.
So you have a classic D20.
Yeah, it's great. It's so frustrating though.
But it is, so you're actually getting the active dice roll rather than it happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, so it does feel
lovely.
Like a digital Dungeons and Dragons game, if anyone's
really
ever
nice.
Played that. It is really, really good. So yeah, just going back into what it does well. So that old school RPG playing, the openness of it, the fact it rewards you for exploring, but also there is that kind of peril, whereas like games like Skyrim, I think enemies kind of level up as you do, so you're always semi safe, whereas this, if you go in certain areas, you need to just,
you're gonna get your ass handed
to you. A bit careful and like a bit more confident in your leveling up and like also your party and things like that. So it's just that thought and that planning and just that, I don't know, it just feels so, what's the word for it? Organic and like real and like you're not really pigeonholed into anything.
It's a phenomenal amount of work, isn't it, that's gone into this game and in terms of not only the cast of characters, which I'm sure you'll touch on.
Oh my God, yeah.
Because I think the best performance award went to one of the actors from Baldur's Gate.
Oh yeah.
It's like a massive diverse cast. Really well voiced by all
including
standards.
Dragonborns.
Yeah, no, I mean like as in the amount of characters that you meet. And all those narrative threads that you can pick up. And it sounds like no two games of Baldur's Gate are going to be anywhere near similar. So what you're saying, yeah, really rings true with everything I've heard about the game or read about the game, which is that it's a true choice-based game. Like you will really have a massively different experience depending on what path you go down with it. Was there anything else that you think really stands out about this game? That
The entire game is just brilliant. Yeah, it does the old school RPG, but presented in a more like a higher fidelity kind of graphical representation.
Yeah,
like,
nice.
It looks really, really beautiful, but it's still like kind of like you can be quite top down third. Is it third person?
When you can see yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely. But also they explore like different camera angles as well, where you can actually be a bit closer up. So you can have that kind of Skyrim-ish feel where you're literally like a camera behind someone, or you can be quite top down.
Lovely.
Yeah, I think it does. It's very hard to pick out individual things because it is just so good. So far, definitely a time sink as well.
Goodness,
I woke up, was in my pajamas, started playing Baldur's Gate, and all of a sudden it's dark outside, kind of thing.
So it's just like, all right.
But you didn't have to get changed again for bed.
Yeah, exactly.
And so far, bearing in mind you're only at the end of Act One, is there anything that works less well for you in the game?
Not overly. So the things that I would say might be a bit of a down mark on it would be things like the combat takes ages. So even like smaller combat where you've got like a few people that you could easily kill, because of the way the turn-based element works, there's no real way to like speed it up. So every person's turn can take quite a while. And it does seem to get stuck on some people at times for a longer time. So someone will like perform an action, say they attack you and then walk away. And then you have a period of like 10 seconds occasionally just waiting, and then it will switch, and it just seems a bit bizarre. Yeah, so like that kind of feels a little bit clunky, but also it makes you a bit more considerate of who you're going to go to battle with, because it's a proper investment in time.
Yeah, that
makes
sense.
I'll kill this person.
Yeah. So you're not just like, running and shooting like you would in some games.
Yeah.
Just to get those low-level enemies out of the way. You've got to actually think about,
absolutely,
strategically, do I have the time investment here?
Do I have the time?
Do I have the resources?
Yeah, that's another thing as well. It's not like you can just heal up and get all your points back. You have to actually actively rest. And when you say rest, you go back to like a campsite.
Mm-hmm.
You have to use resources to replenish your health, and also like things like your magic and stamina and things like that. The other thing, actually, this is a bit of a weird one, but in terms of what it does bad, it's just something I don't particularly like. The leveling up, there's only, I think, a potential of 12 levels, which I find a bit, I don't know. I love the reward of like getting levels up and investing into things a bit more. But like every level up is quite a big jump in terms of your character's abilities.
Okay.
So that's another thing. I quite like, you know, games where you go up to level 60 or something like that and you do individual points. So you have to kind of plan out your character a little bit more. This feels like you jump up a level and you get all these perks all of a sudden unlocked.
Yeah. Well, I guess see how you go through the next couple of acts, because you might find something changes
I'm pretty certain that I've researched this, because I was like, why am I only level 4 and I've done so much? But
I know what you mean, though. The gradual kind of leveling up sometimes feels more rewarding, because it gives more of an incentive to keep mining things, or keep at the little grindy things that you need to do. Nice.
Other than that, that's like very minor negatives.
Lovely. And is there any other highlights that you want to talk about? Anything special about the game or the way the developers have put this together that you wanted to highlight or mention?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a couple of things with that. I mean, it's that whole refreshing old school take on games where it feels like there's not so much like, what do you call them? Like in-game purchases and things like that people are trying to push on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God. So one of the things I've been playing a lot recently as well is Warhammer 3 Total War. The amount of DLC, like, it's incredible because it makes the game bigger and bigger and bigger. But this game is already massive and so what do you call it? So full of different options and different things that you can do with it. And there's no extra that you have to get to like I don't know, get a particular sword or a particular character.
Yeah, and a lot of that stuff is like paying money for a cosmetic as well.
Yeah, which, yeah, exactly.
Sure, if you want to do that, but it just feels a bit...
It's just nice to have a studio like Larian that is... Was it Larian? Sorry, Larian.
Larian,
yeah. Yeah, beg your pardon. That still has this old school kind of mentality in terms of the games, and it doesn't feel too corporate.
Yeah.
It feels just like people wanting to deliver a really, really lovely game.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And unless there's anything else, who would you recommend this game for?
Just
or two,
proper,
I should say.
Proper good old school RPG gamers. I think it's pretty good for quite a lot of people. As long as you've got time to invest in a game, I think that's the big thing. Like, it is a big investment in time. It's not something you're going
to blast through. I don't think I'll get round to playing it.
Oh, you should, though. It's so good. It's so, so good.
I know, I have tiny human to look after.
This is true, yeah, you do have real life to have a gotchi. But I hope you do get an opportunity to play it, because it's just well worth playing. So yeah, as long as you're not like too young that you don't understand like certain dynamics of games.
That's an interesting point. So you think that a player that hasn't experienced a traditional like turn-based RPG might not want to access this,
Maybe. I mean, I'd still say give it a try, definitely, if you can. Like, I don't know if this is how I came across Arcanum. I literally had to go for about 5 minutes on my friend's computer, ogre just like destroyed an entire village. And I was like, I'm hooked. Yeah. I need this. So yeah, like if someone's got a version of it that you can play, go for it. Yeah, and that's another good thing that it does as well. You can have multiple characters on the go at the same time and play completely different ways.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely try it.
Okay. So I think that brings us nicely to your
rating.
Oh, rating. Yeah, That's what I was going to do.
Oh, you were looking in the other direction.
Just because I thought Belen was going to say something.
All of our listeners can tell which direction she was looking. So thank you for pointing.
It's all right. No worries. Well, that's it. You need someone to actually
I was about to say,
describe the scene.
Brings us nicely to the rating.
Oh, good.
What would you rate this game out of 10 for the first act?
Oh, okay. It's for the first. I mean, it's definitely up there with like the top games that I've ever played so far. So as long as it continues, it's got to be a 10. Absolutely flawless.
Yeah. Lovely really, high really scoring review there for Baldur's Gate 3 Act 1.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Thank you, Erin.
No worries. Thank you.
So shall I go next then? My game was next on the list.
Yeah, go for it.
Who's going to take on the interviewer hat while I...
Ooh,
can you see the questions?
Well, I can see the questions. I have to lean forwards.
All right, so...
feel free to move the monitor if you want to.
Yeah, you can do.
Give it a turn.
We've got a monitor in the studio today. Okay, good. Bill in.
Thank you.
Right, so Jem, what is the game that you're reviewing?
I'm going to be reviewing Alan Wake 2!
Oh, and as we mentioned, all of our games won a Game Award. Which one did this win?
This won two. This won... Ooh. No, three, in fact. It won Best Director, Best Art Direction, and now I'm going to forget the other award it won. Best Narrative, of course it is!
She found it!
Oh my goodness me.
Well done. You got there in the end.
That's what listeners see deprivation does to you when you are up all night with a screaming baby. Yes, so in a nutshell.
In a nutshell.
Right, so I'm going for not just one nut.
Or other food related item, but not nuts.
A nut sundae.
Not sundae.
Going to tell you why.
Okay.
So in a true good sundae style, every mouthful is a taste explosion, and every mouthful is slightly different, and you do not know what you're going to get until that goes in your mouth. And I feel like the chapters of this game very much reflect that taste experience.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a nice, varied, sometimes actually nutty experience of gameplay. Yeah.
So Alan Wake 2, tell us what console you've been playing on and describe the game for us.
All right, here we go. So I've been playing this on Xbox Series X. I started playing it on release, which was the 27th of October 2023. I'm containing my excitement as much as I can. I'm such a big Alan Wake fan. I absolutely devoured the Alan Wake Remastered, which we reviewed on the pod about a year ago. Mm-hmm. If you want to go back through those episodes, you can hear my take on that and my excitement about just this game and this universe. A massive fan of Remedy, who are the developers behind this, Remedy Entertainment. A huge fan of Sam Lake, who's one of the directors, and his sort of vision. So it's directed by Sam Lake and Carl Rowley. And Sam Lake, for people who've played Max Payne, sort of put himself in that game. He's also plays a character in this game. Mm. Very much deserved that Best Director award, I think, for the vision and this kind of world, this universe that Remedy are putting together. This links up with some of the other Remedy Universe games, namely Control, in various ways that I won't spoil, but is really satisfying if you love the other Remedy games. There's lots of little Easter eggs for fans of the Remedy universe. And yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, plays it on Xbox Series X. And I'll quickly sum up what it is. So basically, this is a survival horror game. According to the team at Remedy, this is their first survival horror game. I actually think the first Alan Wake is a survival horror. Mm. It just isn't as horror as this one. It's a lot funnier, a lot clunkier, and there's a lot more combat, albeit really clunky combat, in the 2010 original. No, it's a survival. I think it's a survival horror. I mean, again, don't at me, but I think it's a survival horror because of a lot of the gameplay style, the fact that it's sparse on resources. I just think this one really leans into the horror, and it leans into this world of a kind of almost like a Twin Peaks vibe of kind of weirdness. It's really creative with that and how it exposes you to this sort of weird, strange, nightmarish reality that you find yourself in. And the game itself is a third person survival horror, and you have a split protagonist. So you play half the game as Alan Wake, who is they sum it up pretty well through the other protagonist, who's Saga Anderson. She's an FBI agent, so you start with her, and even if you haven't played Alan Wake 1, Saga's story sort of sums up what's happened. So it's not a spoiler to say that Alan is trapped in a kind of world called the Dark Place, trapped in after the events of 2010, after the first Alan Wake game. And so you've got this split protagonist experience where you can play as both of them at different points in the game. So different chapters are either a Saga chapter or an Alan chapter, and then you're moving through this kind of linear narrative. So it's very narrative heavy game where you are basically unraveling the mystery of what's happened in this location.
So do you alternate between them? Do you choose when to progress each character independently?
Yeah, a bit of both, actually. So you start as Saga, and Saga is really, really an interesting character. She's presented as a very skilled FBI agent, but she's also got a link into this sort of supernatural vibe. She has a mind place, which is a really amazing bit of game design, whereby you press a button on your controller and you're instantly in the mind place. It's not the menu. It's just more game. So you're instantly from one game. So you can be out in the woods and then you press a button and then you're in her mind, and it's like a little office. And you get to do some administration in there, but the game is still going on.
Yeah.
So basically, if you go into the mine place while there's enemies attacking you, they will still attack you.
You have to be aware of it.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah. A lot of the time you can find safe areas to go into the mine place. But her mind place, you quickly realise, is somewhere where she pieces together evidence, but also she has this sort of intuition, which is called profiling in the game. And that sort of pieces together bits of information into something more substantial, which gives you more kind of background on characters and gives her some intuition on what to ask next, and what her objectives would be, or whether to trust a character or not trust a character. So that's a really nice bit of sort of narrative development that happens. But in the mind place, you can also upgrade your weapons and look back over everything that you've done. The story is really involved because you've got two characters, because you've got history from 2010, which is sort of being recapped in Saga's story that she needs to unpick and unravel and understand. And then you've got an existing mystery, like a present day mystery that she's trying to work out as well. You can get lost, but because of the mind place, you actually have like a case board. So you've got you've got like Polaroids that stick to the wall and bits of evidence. You can at any point go back and read things and look back at her conclusions and things.
So it's quite good for recapping.
It's quite good for recapping if you need to take breaks in between gameplay, yeah. I think.
Do you think you needed to have played Alan Wake 1 before you played this
Definitely
one?
Definitely not.
Okay, cool.
No, I mean, you get the Easter eggs if you do,
yeah,
but you don't need to.
Okay.
And then to go back to Bilen's question, once you've gone through the beginning chapters of the game, and they are chapters because this is about a writer, you then switch to playing as Alan. And Alan is a kind of washed up thriller writer who finds himself stuck in the dark place. And you play as Alan in the dark place, which is this kind of warped, nightmarish version of New York. And that's another type of gameplay experience altogether, whereas Saga's is very much rooted in a sense of reality with weird things happening. Alan's world is the weird thing.
Yeah.
And his role as a writer is very much his action.
Yeah.
So you are rewriting plots in order to rewrite the location that you're in or the setting you're in.
That's very
And the whole
cool.
thing is a massive puzzle.
Yeah.
So you have to find the right plots to open the right doors, to traverse the right stairwells, to make certain things appear.
Yeah.
You play with both at the beginning and then you may choose which order to go through the rest of the story at a certain point. I would recommend for anyone picking up this game that you switch between Alan and Saga as regularly as you can. So do Saga and then Alan. And then when it lets you pick who's going to go next, go back to Saga, then go back to Alan, then do Saga, then do Alan. I feel like that will give you the most balanced experience of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of who you pick, you have to do all of those levels. It just changes the order. And I think that if you just play through all of Saga all in one go, it's going to start to feel a bit samey. Whereas if you mix it with the Alan stuff, which is really where a lot of it gets wild and out there and really creative, that's when you're going to really get the most out of that Remedy creativity and wild, amazing gameplay design and level design. Not to say the Saga stuff isn't also brilliant, but a lot of people summing it up this way, and I think that this is a good analogous, I guess, that the Alan Wake levels feel very sort of Twin Peaksy, and the Saga levels feel a bit like more like True Detective sort of vibes, like first season True Detectives, where there's that undertone of that, you know,
something a bit surreal.
And some of it, I have to say, some of it is absolutely terrifying. And for someone who is a wimp with zombie games, I'm really surprised that I just ploughed through it. But I think it's a testament to how good the storytelling is and how fun it is. There are things in this game, which I'll get to in a bit, but there are things in this game that absolutely blew my mind and will stay with me forever because I loved them so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, did you have to get Alex to do any of the scary bits? Or
No, Alex, I have played, this is my game. I insisted that he is not to complete it until I'd completed it.
Oh, well done.
I absolutely love this game. Like, I made sure I made time to play it because I know how much I love Alan Wake. I know how much I loved Control. I absolutely loved Control. And this is, I mean, in terms of storytelling and level design, this is, it's that again. But again, but different. Yeah.
Yeah, so you've gone through, like, a lot of things it does very well.
I've got more.
Okay, what else would you like to highlight?
Yeah, quickly touch on some of the other bits.
Sorry, Erin went on and on about Baldur's Gate, so I'm going to rush through.
That's all right.
Let's go. Baldur's Gate is brilliant. Why not? I think the things that this game does brilliantly, I want to just quickly touch on level design. That some of the things that this team have pulled out of their minds and put into game level design are so wild. Like, they really, really mix all of the media. So the sound design is second to none. Like, it's incredible. Play this with headphones, please. It is absolutely incredible. Also, the way that they're layering sound and music together, fantastic. There is original music that has been created for this game that is so well placed in the game. So at the end of every chapter, you get a track, which is exactly what happens with the first Alan Wake game. You get a track which kind of summarizes or leads on from what you've just played. And that's like, a lot of it is original music. And
is it a soundtrack you could listen to just as a music to listen to?
You can now listen to it on Spotify. It's now on Spotify.
Yeah.
So there's a band, oh my gosh, the name escapes me, but in the game they're called the Old Gods of Asgard. And that band's is incredible, and that music is peppered throughout the gameplay, so it's integral to the gameplay. Okay. There are a couple of levels. I'm just going to say them but not spoil them. There is a level called We Sing, which is all about music, and it is, I have never smiled this much playing a game.
Basically Guitar Hero, yeah?
I'm not going to say anything.
It's Guitar Hero.
You're still playing the game. This is one of the Alan levels, but it is all about music and it is unbelievable. And they, as I said, they use mixed media. So they're using real film, so like live action.
Yeah.
And in-game experience. And then there's like computerized live action that's so good, you know, so well rendered, it might as well be live action. So they're using like three different visual mediums, and then also the actual design of the lights and the layout, and then the music and the original score is just absolutely phenomenal. And then there's a saga level towards the end. I can't actually remember the name of it. But that chapter, again, having music in the background is absolutely integral to the setting and the vibe of that. It's just mind-blowing. And some of the things they do with layering some of those visuals over the top of what you're looking at. There are some levels where it's really creepy. You're looking through, say, an abandoned room. I don't want to spoil anything. And suddenly you'll get a kind of like subliminal flash of something really disturbing in that space. And then that will disappear. So sometimes it's like a jump scare, and sometimes it's like a layer of live action over the in-game setting.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
That suddenly adds something else. And then you'll look somewhere, and then there'll be like live action kind of hologram of someone's face talking to you. And that's part of the in-game experience as well. It's just an absolute joy for the senses.
Yeah, it sounds like you kind of like this one.
I'm so obsessed.
But is there anything you don't like about it?
I have to be realistic, right? This game's amazing, but the combat is really clunky.
Still, even though...
However...
Okay.
What I would say this. Saga, who's an FBI agent, is much better at combat than Alan, who's a writer. And I think that makes sense. It makes sense. So Alan's combat is so clunky, and it was really clunky in the first game, partly because of the era.
Yeah.
But I think it's partly deliberate.
Yeah.
He never runs. Like, he just kind of lugs himself along, like, really slow. God. Like,
I hate games that do that.
But he's a writer.
Like, just because he's a writer doesn't mean he doesn't know how to run.
I kind of like that Saga's combat was better.
That makes sense.
It's still a little bit clunky. Yeah. It's not like the level of combat and control, for example, another Remedy game, was phenomenal and out of this world. Like, it was so slick, it was so fast. But this, I feel like it earns its clunkiness in terms of the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Because you feel like if you were these players in these situations, you wouldn't be like an expert sniper and like really slick and really fast.
I mean, it's a fair point. Most games, when you get introduced to an element of combat and you're just like some normal civilian, all of a sudden you're taking on an entire army. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So I think it's fine. I think you just got to like acknowledge it's fine. We know Remedy can do good combat. So I feel like it must be sort of deliberate.
Yeah. It makes sense. I think, again, like, it's probably an immersive choice, isn't it?
And then my other one little gripe, and it's only a small thing, but it's really annoying. The maps are just annoying. The maps were annoying in Control, and they're still annoying in this.
What makes them annoying?
It's a static map. You can't do any place markers. And a lot of the time, especially in Saga's levels, you are out in the woods, and the paths aren't really paths because you're in the woods, which is fair enough. But it's so dark that, like, the dark is great. You should play it in the dark, draw the curtains, etc. It adds to the immersive experience. However, if it's going to be that dark and you really can't see anything, you need the maps. Because there are times when you're backtracking over something you've already explored.
Mm.
I feel like in realism, you'd put some markers down, you know, to keep, if it's about realism.
Leave a trail of breadcrumbs.
Exactly. You'd have something once you've already explored it. Find the first time, make it mysterious. It adds to the gameplay. But yeah, after that, like, it's just frustrating. You can't orientate the map. It's just static. And you often just find yourself going down a path and backtracking for ages.
Okay, so you've covered what was bad.
Okay, let's start again.
Okay.
Right. You don't need to say what we've just covered because I've just covered it.
Fair enough.
Okay, so are there any other highlights you'd like to talk about?
All I will say, well, actually, I'm going to go straight into recommendation because it's kind of a highlight / recommendation. If you are traditionally scared of games, don't worry, just persevere, because this game is also really, really fun and funny, and the story's really good. And it was like, yeah, what I'm going to say is listen to the soundtrack on Spotify just to get a vibe. Don't read anything about the game. I wouldn't. And have a go with this game. Like, someone you know will have it. Just have a little play. If the beginning is too scary for you, then I'd say play the next chapter, like, with someone else just to get through the beginning, because the beginning is really scary. But it's so fun. It's so rewarding. I'd recommend this to anyone who likes a narrative-driven action game. You don't have to be the biggest horror fan, because, as I say, it does vary up the tone. It is very scary, but it's not all scary all the way through. You get enough respite. So I'd recommend this to most people. Just go and seek it out. It's just so much fun. Like, even if you play it for a bit, just to just give yourself a good chance of enjoying it. Yeah, I'm kind of recommending it to everyone, really.
Even scaredy cats.
If you're really, really scared, I guess you might not like it, but then I'm really, really scared, aren't I, normally? Yeah. I'm normally scared of zombies, though.
But
are you
starting to do, like, the kind of, like, spicy chili tolerance thing, like, where you're playing more and more? Yeah. Now you're starting to get used to it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Also, I think the combat is so forgiving. Oh, yeah. No, the other thing I'd say is play it on story mode. Just play it on story mode, because, as I say, the combat, like, isn't what this game is about. So just play it on story mode. Like, just give yourself a really fun time with it. It makes it so manageable. There's a really forgiving dodge button as well. So you're hardly ever going to be overwhelmed. Like, there's enough to keep you interested, or you can turn up the difficulty if you want to.
Right. I think that's it. How would you rate it?
Oh, gosh. I've got to give it 9.5 out of 10. I'm just docking that half.
Because of the clunky combat?
Because of the maps. Because the clunky combat didn't bother me, but I have to acknowledge it's there, because it is. But yeah,
it's not a deal breaker.
Yeah. I think I did the same for Control, like, for ridiculous bosses or something, and maps.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9.5. Go and play it. It's amazing. Love it.
Yeah, I've definitely looked at that a few times, actually, and been like, oh, do I play it? But I'm kind of glad.
I think you'll love it.
I will do. I almost feel like I wanted to wait for you to play it.
I want you to play it so much, because there's things I want to talk about that I don't want to spoil.
Okay. All right.
Because
fantastic.
It's just so incredible.
Yeah. Anyway, this
you can always talk to me, because I'm not that bothered about spoilers for that kind of game.
Oh, yeah. But the surprises are so good. Anyway, let us move on. So, Bilen, you are going to be talking about what game?
I will be talking about Super Mario Wonder, which was released in October 2023. It's a Nintendo game, and it also won a Game Award.
Not Game of the Year.
It was Family Game of the Year.
Yeah!
Which
Nintendo
has been
playfully called
the Nintendo Award.
Nintendo seem to win this every year.
Why not? It's a great thing. You know, they make nice games that are suitable for families.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, Belen, so in a nutshell, or food-related item, how are you going to quickly summarise this game?
Aaron said I was going to be pedantic when he said coconut, which is technically a nut. Mine is definitely not a nut.
Strawberry.
No, it's a unicorn frosted donut.
Okay.
Whoa.
So it has nut in the name, but it's definitely not a nut.
And the reason is
because of the central mechanic of Super Mario Wonder, where you... If you grab a Wonder Flower, the world changes in a mysterious way.
Oh my gosh, it's like Alan Wake.
Or like doing drugs.
It's very much like doing drugs.
Hooray!
So this may have won Family Game of the Year, but you could definitely see this game mechanic in a game where, instead of collecting this magical Wonder Flower, you're actually tripping on acid.
It's called cannabis, children.
No, it's definitely more acid, because everything sparkles and
shrooms.
You hallucinate stuff. Yeah, shrooms. Something psychedelic.
Nice. Psychedelic trip. Tell us about... So you're playing it on Switch?
I'm playing it on Switch. It's the only platform that it's available on, I believe.
They haven't back compatible... Oh, yeah, mind you, who's still
playing it? It's a Nintendo game. It's going to be on the Nintendo platforms.
Know people that play Wii.
Yeah, well, I know that, yeah.
I still occasionally play my Wii U, but not that often.
Wii U?
The Wii U was the
follow-up to the Wii.
Yeah, but that was one of the less successful consoles, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's because people kind of saw it as like an upgrade to the Wii. They didn't see it as its own standalone console.
Yeah. I mean, that's branding and marketing.
Also, the asymmetric gameplay that it afforded was excellent, but not enough developers really made use of that. Apparently, it was a bit clunky to develop for, and therefore it didn't get as many games.
Oh, that's a
shame. Fair enough. Anyway, we digress. Yes. Tell us about Super Mario Wonder. So this is a Mario title. What's it about? Like, what's the story? What's Mario doing?
Right. So Mario, who usually resides in the Mushroom Kingdom,
yep,
with Princess Peach, who is in charge of the Mushroom Kingdom, goes to the neighboring Flower Kingdom.
Oh.
Which I don't believe has featured in any Mario games so far.
I'll take your word for it. You've played more than we have.
And this is ruled by Prince Florian. I think
that's his name. Hello, Prince.
He's like some tiny little caterpillar thing. Quite cute.
Aww.
And instead of toads, they have poplins, which are flower people.
Nice.
They're also very cute. For some reason, Bowser decides to come to the Flower Kingdom just as Mario and co. are visiting and steal the Wonder Flower so that he can get the Wonder Power, turns himself into a castle. Yes, very strange. And then tries to absorb all of the Wonder Power from the Flower Kingdom so that he can do something amazing, which never actually happens because obviously you beat the game. Although I haven't actually died. Maybe I should die and see if there's an ending.
Die.
I've like died in a level, but I've never run out of lives. I don't know if it's one of those games where when you run out of lives, it actually has the bad ending where the enemy wins. So I should check that out because I've not done that.
Do Nintendo normally do that?
They've done it so for like the Legend of Zelda games on the NES, they did that.
But for Mario,
oh, Ganon has been brought back to life, the world is destroyed, blah 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 blah. I don't know if they do it for Mario. I don't think so. I can't remember them doing it for a Mario game that I've played.
I don't normally lose
all my lives in a Mario game. Super Mario Brothers 2, definitely. I did that was really hard.
I'm just going to apologise for Aaron's really creaky chair. He's not doing something weird. His chair is just
which
really
right. We may or may not be able to hear on the
you
mic.
You won't be able to hear it.
It's fine.
If you
he can probably filter it out
weird.
Anyway. Right.
I'm just going to creak now.
You go to this Flower Kingdom. The story
as
is...
As usual, it's some weird story which involves you having to rescue...
You don't have to rescue any damsels in distress. You can play as any... You can play as Mario, Luigi, Peach, Daisy, Toads, Toadette.
Can you be baby Mario?
Yoshis, various Yoshis, and Nabbit. You can't be any of the baby characters.
Baby Mario is the best.
Yeah, well... But you can play as lots of different characters. None of them have unique mechanics apart from the Yoshis and Nabbits who are kind of... easy mode. So when you play as them, you can't fall down holes, but you also can't collect power-ups. The story is basically Bowser is doing bad thing, stop Bowser from doing bad thing.
Fair enough. Probably
typical
doesn't matter because
ish Mario.
I'm sure you're going to tell us what is this game doing very well. A lot, I've heard.
So the game, the wonder mechanic is excellent. You have a wonder flower in every single level, main levels, and when you grab one, something strange happens in the world, or to Mario, or both. And it's very rarely repeated, so you seem to get a unique mechanic in every single level. And that might be something as simple as everything is now shadow, so you can't see very easily. It might be it's become a rhythm action game and you have to jump in time with the music in order to progress.
Another Guitar Hero game!
Or, randomly, there'll be a stampede of animals and you have to jump on their backs in order to get to where you're going.
Like the Lion King.
And
except he doesn't do that very well.
Like the Lion King.
R.I.P. Mufasa. Spoilers for Lion King.
If you haven't seen the Lion King yet, I don't think you need a spoiler alert. Surely everyone's seen it who's going to see it.
That's great. It sounds like there's a lot of diversification of the level style then.
Yes. And the thing is, that's also entirely optional. This is something that you can collect in each world. Some of them are hidden, so you might not find them. It's just an extra collectible. Then add something to that particular level, an extra gameplay mechanic, and then once you've used that mechanic, you get access to something called a Wonder Seed, which is just another collectible. Mm-hmm. You don't finish the level by doing that. Mm-hmm. You then still have to get to the flag to collect another Wonder Seed. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are multiple flags. Some of them are hidden. But you can just skip the Wonder Seed if you want to.
Yeah.
But that's where most of the fun stuff happens. There are also
the Wonder Flower
levels.
And the Wonder Seed all contribute to mixing up the level experience. Is that right?
So the Wonder Seed is just the collectible. You get your Wonder Flower that turns on the mechanic. You collect the Wonder Seed, turns off the mechanic.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the Wonder Seed is also what you get for completing a level. And there are also non-standard platforming levels where you have to use something called badges, for example.
Are they kind of like little power-ups or buffs?
Yeah. I'm just going to have a drink.
Okay. Vinan's going to have a drink.
Intermission music. He's back.
And I'm back. Right, so badges.
Wrong game, sorry.
So badges give you...
He's not sorry. Okay, everyone.
There's
He's
the intermission okay. music quickly.
Intermission. Dylan, are you okay?
I think I'm okay.
He's done.
Right.
Badges.
You okay?
Badges. They give you an ability specifically for the level that you've selected it for.
Okay.
And you can select any of the badges that you've unlocked.
Yep.
And then use them for the duration of the level. Mm-hmm. There are special levels which are designed to test your abilities with these badges.
Nice.
And there are hidden ones which like have extra hard levels associated with them. Ooh. So the badges you get are things like jump higher, floaty jump.
Oh, floaty jump! Floaty or like jump. A floaty jump.
Parachute jump. So you open your hat and use it as a parachute. There's like, I can't remember what it's called. Something to do with you do a spin jump in the air and you get a double jump.
Nice.
That one's really cool. There's a dolphin kick. So for the swimming levels, you can swim quicker. Mm. And then there's some like challenge ones where you turn them on, it makes the level harder. Like the jet run badge where you run forever, but it does give you the benefit that you can run off a platform and jump in midair.
Nice. So there's lots of little perks in the collectibles. They aren't just... like cosmetic collectibles you are...
Oh no, they all do something.
They all do something, which I think is
apart
really
apart from the
good.
Final one.
Okay, all right. But you've 100%ed this game, right?
Yes, I 100%ed the game, got it for Christmas. I did it in just over a week. Probably took me about 15 hours.
About 15 wow. hours. About to 100%.
To 100%.
What was the time to beat, just to beat the first
one? Just to beat it, probably just shy of 10 hours. So actually... In terms of post-game content, it was considerably shorter than some of the more recent Mario games.
Yeah. Mm. But actually, that's not always a bad thing.
We've spoken about it before. Sometimes it's nice to just get your teeth into a game and have like a few sessions and then have it done.
Rather than
like things like Dying Light, which go on for about 8 years.
Yeah.
Or Tears of the Kingdom, where I've spent 250 hours and I'm 70% through.
That sounds like that's got a bit more like, I don't know, reason to it, whereas Dying Light felt like it was quite a lot of padding in the second one.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was like, oh, look how big it is, but not for any particular reason.
Yeah,
didn't
for
add
sure.
To it.
So what else does it do well then, in your opinion?
So the variability of the levels is excellent. Just generally the platforming is really good. And I think there is a decent amount of challenge without it being...
It's not Nintendo hard, or is it Nintendo hard?
It's pretty hard. The fact that I managed to finish it in about 15 hours means it's not stupidly hard.
Yeah.
But it's hard enough that I actually lost a lot of lives on the final level trying to finish it.
There's enough challenge in there. You're not going to be disappointed if you love how hard Mario games become.
Yes.
But also maybe it's a bit more accessible than some of the predecessors.
Yes, definitely more accessible.
Great. Lovely. And is there anything about it that you found was less effective?
So I liked all of the mechanics about the game. The thing that I didn't like was how short it was.
Oh, okay.
So, the thing is, it's great for some games to be short, but I've got so used to Mario games having loads of post-game content. We've been spoiled. Mm. Like Super Mario Odyssey went on and on to complete that
100%. I mean, it was an Odyssey though, right?
Yeah, that had a lot if you wanted to 100% it. And then something like Super Mario 3D World, that was a grind. In order to 100% that game, you've got to complete every single level with 5 different characters. I haven't done that. But once you complete the main game, you've got another world, and then there's another world after that, and another world after that, and it just keeps going. This one, you complete the game, it's like, there isn't a new world. There's a special world, but you can access that during the game as normal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was a bit disappointed at how quickly it ended.
Because you're fairly up on your Nintendo news. Do you know if they're planning to support the game with any DLC?
I'm really hoping so, because it's really fun. And if there's not DLC, then I think I'll just be a bit let down at how short it is. Mm. I think it could easily open itself to DLC, because they could just come up with some random new levels with some random new mechanic. You know, just add an extra world. Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard anything, but it is very early days. I think Nintendo don't tend to release DLC for games that close.
I mean, let's face it, they don't need to. Like, people buy the games.
Yeah.
Whatever they do, people buy the games. That's just Nintendo. It's kind of blessing and curse, isn't it? People just buy those damn games. So is there any other highlights or anything else you'd want to mention about the game?
So the non-standard platforming levels, I think, were a great addition. Lovely. So in addition to the badge challenges, you've also got play parks where you have to find some tokens in order to find a wonder seed. And there's like some battle arenas where you have to defeat a certain number of enemies through a series of rooms in a set amount of time. I thought that was really cool. I think those are the extra things that I would recommend.
Yeah, amazing. And that must really vary up that gameplay to stop you getting that platforming fatigue that you can get when platformers get a bit more tricky as you continue through them.
Yeah, I think with the variation in the levels, that was never an issue. So because every level is so different, you don't think, oh yeah, it's just another platforming level. Everything has something different about it, even before you have the Wonder Seed.
Mm. Great. I think that brings us nicely to the recommendation. Mm-hmm. Who would you recommend this to?
I would recommend this to anyone who likes Mario games or just that kind of platform game, particularly people who don't want to play a very long game, don't want too much challenge, but a little bit of challenge, and, you know, families.
Mm. And I guess, is it lots of fun?
It's lots of fun. It's really fun.
Can I just ask, how much was it as well? Because I'd be interested in terms of the price to the actual length of game.
Sister, do you want to reveal that you bought it for...
Yeah, I bought it for him. Is that okay?
It's probably the standard cost of a
less than like Zelda, so it was about £40.
Okay.
I mean, right, it was £40 enough. I mean, yeah. So yeah, I think Zelda was like nearer 60, wasn't it, when it came out?
I don't know, I've got the collector's edition.
Oh yeah, so yours was extra. I think Tears of the Kingdom was nearer £60.
Yeah. I was just interested in the price to gameplay time.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
Really,
yeah. I mean,
£40 seems reasonable because it's a very good quality game.
Yeah, and also you've got to think about the amount of development that goes into a title like this, with that level of design, and also the amazing music, I'm sure.
Oh, the music is very fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, Billen, what would you rate Super Mario Wonder out of 10?
Oh, I'm going to go... So I was hoping it was going to be right up there. When I started playing it, it was about a 9. But I'm going to have to dock it about a half a mark because it's a bit too short. So 8.5.
8.5
still good.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's still fantastic. Well done.
Yeah, excellent. Well done, excellent ratings all round. Yeah. Well... I mean, we did it.
We did it.
We sat down. We talked about some games that are fairly current.
Yeah,
we had some mic issues.
I am holding the Wii in really bad at the minute. It's just for all the
years. Yeah, yeah. I'm also holding in a Wii. Oh, really,
well, this is where we're going to get very competitive.
There's only one toilet.
I'm better at holding my Wii than you are. That's how competitive I am.
Well, I was actually going to go to that one.
Fair enough.
I was going to go to the hidden toilet in the hidden world.
Yeah, we
this
already
is compelling
all know
listening
about the
for anyone who's tuning in.
If you break into the next door neighbours, there's a toilet there.
I'm just going to try and wrap this podcast up without more Wii chat. I do need a Wii, but I didn't think it was compelling.
Everyone needs to know these
narrative
things.
For anyone.
Every time you say Wii, I keep thinking about the console.
We all need to, Nintendo. We. on that note, thank you so much for tuning in for this latest episode of My Turn Podcast. Thanks for listening. And yeah, let us know if there's any games that you want us to review, especially board games.
Board games.
We're definitely going to do some more of soon because we played loads over Christmas.
Yeah.
And we chat about them. But yes, listen again. Like, subscribe, follow us, recommend us to your friends. Give us a 5-star review. Go on, treat yourself. And we will catch you again next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
God, I need a week.